Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I have been looking through Airbnbs, and I never thought looking through Airbnbs would be difficult. And I think I've made 27 lists. I would narrow down 20, and then I would narrow it down to 5. I'd send off a couple of ideas and then would find 20 more.
Yeah. Here's my thing with Airbnb is like you book and I get Airbnb FOMO.
I saw one of those that was like eco-friendly Airbnb plus blush white, you know.
Wouldn't that be funny? Wouldn't
house that be funny in Palm
if
Springs.
That's what Siri sounded like? She'd be like, hey, Siri, where's a good place to eat around here?
Well, were you thinking about ruining the environment today, or were you thinking about actually doing some good?
Oh my God. Why would you even ask?
I mean, you could eat there if you wanted to. I'm just wondering
if you're interested in more ambience or like portion size.
I'm Siri. No, that one, that AI would be called Siri.
Sorry.
I don't think you should go there. Sorry.
Okay, starting soon, Starbucks in New York City, which is like the most New York City thing ever, and this is their hope moving forward. Pickup only window Starbucks. Everything ordered online. You walk up. You don't say shit to your barista. And they just hand you your scanned pre-ordered coffee. You don't go in. There are no bathrooms. What do you think? Inhuman? Brilliant?
Yes, I think it's fine.
I don't like Starbucks coffee anyways.
Yeah. So I know. You're a Dunkin' gal. I get it.
I'm a Dunkin' gal. I think it's neither bitter.
But, I mean, I don't think it's a terrible idea. I mean, that's exactly what they're catering to. It's not like you are taking away from an experience and saying, like, we're closing up shop. You can't hang out in here anymore. It's a completely separate build,
right? It's a different
type.
Exactly. It's going to be just, like, fully, like you're almost going to the automat, you know, when you plunk, money into the machines, you know, and you open the little drawers and you get the food.
Yeah.
No,
they're like lockers with hot
food
behind them.
Can you still like...
Oh my God, they're so fun.
I've never done that.
That's a European thing too. So anyway.
Is it specifically automated? Can you like walk up and just place an order or do you have to do it on an app?
Do it through the app.
See, that's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think they would have like pickup orders only and have like one window. Like if you're going through like a toll and you're like the one weird lane that has to pay cash instead of just having like the actual pass to go fly through. I would assume it would be something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're going to see how it goes. They're hoping that it caters to like a specific type of person, which to me is like the crazy busy New Yorker or whatever. And for the lollygaggers and artists who like to loiter at a table, you can get your regular Starbucks and shitty burnt coffee.
I mean, I think as a barista, like working at that, it might make your life a little bit easier in the long run. There's still going to be fuck ups because like orders are going to be wrong and this and this and that. But like to have to stare at a weirdo who's been like sitting like in your... coffee shop for 3 hours.
Oh my God. There's a place called Regent Coffee over on Brand Boulevard. And apparently they age their cold brew in oak barrels like whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of this?
Yeah.
And it ends up being like so aged and distilled to a point where it almost like it's full of caffeine, but it almost tastes like a shot of whiskey.
Interesting.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I'd almost want that with some ice cream in it.
They also age beer in like Bordeaux barrels.
I've had that.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah.
But like coffee, beer, wine. Those
and beer also gets aged in oak barrels as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's interesting to do with cold brew. I mean, it makes sense. I wonder what the process is, like how many days it's actually in there.
All these drinks are mixing with other drinks and creating all sorts of new drinks. I don't like this, America.
I like options. I like flavor. I'll try anything. Send me some stuff, guys.
Send me some ideas. What should I marinate?
You've been steeping something? Send it my way.
Send it Andrea's way. Send all your steeping suggestions to Andrea Wallace, awall022@gmail.com.
You got some Kool-Aid been sitting in a rain barrel in the sun? Pass me a straw.
All right, guys, we've got some server-submitted stories.
At Simon RVB. One of the regulars we had at Zupa Lady, the name says it all, she would come in to read a raunchy romance novel while drinking Coke with lots and lots of ice and eat endless amounts of Zupa Toscana soup. She had a quiet, mousy voice and seemed very polite, but the politeness was soon forgotten when you had to do 42 cranks on the cheese grater, so her soup was covered in freshly grated Romano cheese. There was no shame in her cheese game. Is this woman me? Am I the Zupa Lady? I do this. Shh. She would sit for hours stirring a breadstick in her soup, also do that, while reading her trashy romance novel. I love some smut. She wasn't fond of the kale and would pile it on her side of her bowl. Who puts kale in the soup?
It's Zupa.
We continued to load up the kale in her soup. Well, that's wrong. Zupa Lady would eat 4 to 5 bowls of soup, roughly 4 breadsticks and 3 Cokes. At some point throughout her dining experience, she would disappear into the restroom for 10 to 15 minutes, most likely to push out big Zupa poop. Oh, boy. I was going to say to blow some more Coke so she could drink some more Coke and have some more Zupa. No one was excited to wait on her because she never tipped. Oh, see, that's where we differ. And sat in your section for at least 2 hours. Eventually, the host realized she was a terrible table to have, so they would try and seat her at a closed section. The only benefit to waiting on her was that you could focus on your other tables because you knew there was no tip coming from her.
Bummer, Zupa Lady.
This says it's just from the future, Kyle. Maybe it is.
Future old lady Kyle.
This is the problem. And I think that there are regulars like this at chains, like at that, mom and pop restaurants.
You had me up until you don't tip. Like, that's just... I mean, like, listen, I could put away a lot of soup, especially some that sounds like Italian wedding soup.
Well, right.
Or like and a minestrone, I think.
I think the problem is it's like Olive Garden and it's people taking advantage of it's like endless salad, breadsticks, sort of. Yeah. And the soup is probably the cheapest.
I got to go to this Olive Garden place you speak of.
Have you never been to one?
I've never been to one.
You know that when you're there, your family?
Oh my God.
That's their slogan.
Are we family, you guys?
There's one in Burbank.
Okay, guys, this is from Ryan Beinack. That's how I'm going to go ahead and guess you say that. I love the pod, though I must admit, when I first started listening, it triggered a little PTSD, but quickly turned therapeutic and is a perfect thing to share with folks who have experienced even a fraction of that world. That said, I worked in the game for almost 15 years, so I have many tales of taking orders, in parentheses, dressing on the side, from normal stuff like getting hammered during brunch shifts and kicking out an owner of a bar who was wasted, bussing tables for one wild day at a pub in Denver, getting vibes from Katie Holmes at Alice's Teacup in New York. She appears in the episode again. What the fuck? Including stints getting tipped in blow at a lovely hipster craft beer gastropub, working with Dan Soder, that's a comedian we know, at Dos Caminos in Midtown, and quitting on Easter, cursing at customers at Candle 72, which is the sister restaurant to Candle Cafe, which destroyed my life, and even working for stage time and free drinks at New York Comedy Club, not to mention rolling silverware within the corporate rigmarole. All right, so he's done his fucking time. But I will just go with this little gem from when I was young, serving tables in Orlando, Florida during college. It was a pseudo fancy place, and one evening my first table was a woman who, when I greeted her, said she was waiting for her husband and she'd start with our most expensive bottle of wine. It had a price tag of about $500, and I explained this to her, but she insisted, saying they were celebrating an anniversary or something. Uh-oh. I presented the bottle all fancy and poured her a glass and then retreated, waiting for her husband to arrive.
When he did come and sit, I gave them a few moments and then walked up, poured his glass, and went to list the specials, but I could see something was wrong and she was visibly upset. I asked if they had any questions or needed a minute, and she yells, "No! I just found out my husband has been fucking cheating on me for years." Ugh. I was 20 and just slowly and awkwardly backed away. Then, of course, I proceeded to tell everyone, host, cooks, the Haitian dishwasher, and we all hid behind a partition and watched this couple argue like crazy. Finally, the husband storms off and the lady throws up all over the table. Whoa. The worst part ever was I still had to deliver the check. So I very awkwardly apologized and slid the checkbook onto her table. I assume it was his card because she tipped me like $200. Right after that, the manager realized the place was dead and asked who wanted to go home. Needless to say, I jumped on that and went home early. Looking back, that woman was stunning and probably only like my age now, 36. It's nuts to think that when you're 20, you think 35 is so old. Wherever she is, I hope she's happy now. Apologies for the long email. Thanks again. Keep up the great work, Ryan.
Aww.
Woofers.
It's really interesting. I was just having a conversation about when you witness people's like lowest shittiest moments and they happen to be in a public space, you know?
I'm telling you, I think people take other people to public settings so they won't get murdered, you know, or that they think the like reaction. They wanna make a scene. Exactly. And it's like, oh, a scene always happens. 'Cause when people make you mad enough, I'm telling you, nothing stops me from having a blow up. Remember when Tony and I used to fight when we were married, we were trying to keep it cool, but we were hissing at each other from across the table and he was going, "Fuck you." And I was like, "Fuck you." And everyone around us could hear. I've never spoken to anyone like that in my life. It's just no one in the world made me more angry than him. He drew out the worst in me. And for me, being a waitress, I was mortified at my own behavior, but I was full on just like, "No, fuck you." And like almost like threw a basket of bread at him because I was just like, I fucking hate you. I fucking hated him. But
and then they got married 2 weeks after that argument.
Yeah, right? I do. Because today we're going to talk about something that it kind of comes up in most episodes, but we haven't really dedicated our time and energy into what is a real tough part of the job, being the host, the hostess, the host with the most. So if we start out and just kind of describe the function of what a host does, typical definition, you greet customers as they enter a restaurant. Take their reservation or you put them on a waiting list. You give them menus, show them to their seat. You might also handle phone calls and customer queries about the restaurant and menu. And basically, every once in a while, assist various restaurant staff when necessary. Check, 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 and check.
Yeah.
What are additional things that hosts do now as well? Like, because now there's all shit tons of technology.
They run to those a lot of the time now. Yeah,
I was going to say, depending on the restaurant, handling all the carryout.
They might even like, I mean, they might have to run food sometimes, depending on like how busy the restaurant is. And
they have to clean tables because they have to get them set.
Yep.
Because they're always worried about. I think that they're the therapists of the restaurant. They really have to manage people's expectations. They have to. I mean, obviously, as a server, you get a lot of shit customers. But before that, they tested the waters on a host who has no control over making somebody get up from a table.
Oh my God, it's like being the opener on a comedy show.
Yes, it's very much.
You come back and report.
It's the bullet spot.
It's the bullet spot, 100%. Yeah, and you're the face of the restaurant in many ways. Mm-hmm. If someone's going to be a shithead, like they're going to present shittiness to you first and foremost. Because I was looking at this too. Like, so we've all hostessed, right?
Yeah.
In our different Do you do that currently at any of your?
No, I did it though for a really long time at Machalaria in the meatpacking district.
Oh Lord! Oh, the attitude that must have been. Okay, we'll get into that.
Don't you know who I am? Was there a lot of that?
Ugh.
Oh yeah.
Of course.
Oh my God! I was the only woman who worked in that restaurant.
It
was me and all Albanian men.
More like Machalaria. Whatever.
That's a good thing to get into at first. Is like a hostess. Typically a young female.
It is. Yeah. I think in this day and age.
Pretty.
Right. And I feel like based on, so it can be a really nice restaurant or it can be, you know, your just typical sort of corporate, you know, barbecue place or your American Fair or whatever, it is usually a young girl who you're like, you want them to be the first thing your eyes land upon. You could have a very high end place where the place values someone who's like extremely skilled at the job, but also has to fit the mold of being incredibly attractive, which, you know, I have a lot of respect for that. But then God forbid it's a super high end place and you've just got like a, you know, like eye candy dum-dum who's, you know, in the slinky dress and is like, oops, I just filled your section. Sorry.
Yeah.
I was busy flirting with Chris Noth. Yeah. He just keeps coming up in every New York story.
God, that man haunts
me. He's fingered everybody.
Everybody.
Well, hello.
I think that there's also specific shifts that are different mm-hmm. for certain hosts. Like weekend shifts, there's usually probably two hosts like sharing the stand, and like mm-hmm. the head one who's in charge of the actual seating chart knows what's happening, and other hosts coming back at them, feeding them what tables are like empty and need to be flipped. So
right, they're running the floor.
It's a whole system.
Know? It really is.
And now they have, and I mean, like, I don't know I think it's nationwide, but have you guys used Resy?
Yes.
So Resy is similar to Open Table, but it's a little bit more advanced because it allows you to map the restaurant. But what it also allows you to do is, like, you can mark off what point someone's in their meal. So if they're on appetizers, entrees, desserts, so it gets you ready if you're a very busy restaurant. But so I trained to be a host at the last restaurant that I worked at because I was just trying to pick up shifts and that's what they needed at the time. It was the most stressful thing I've ever done. I lasted 4 days. I cried every single training shift, every single one. It was so intense because you fuck up and you seat somebody in the wrong place and you fucked up the whole map for the night. And now you have to just like pray that somebody doesn't show up.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That's another thing. There is this really fine balance between I know I can sit you right away and you'll probably get like, you know, and just to be fair, to be like, there's a reservation at this table at this time. So you're probably going to get double sat in the night if people are in there early to make a flip. So then you can have that, you know, table sat. It is this whole fucking crazy game.
It's a dance. It's
Tetris.
It's also tough when like you open at 5, but you have like, then people start making reservations at 6 p.m. Like,
right. Exactly. And you're just like, why? Why even like open so early?
And the owners or the managers are trying, they're always trying to, I can see it at other restaurants as well, where they're always trying to like take the walk-in. Cause you know, they want more money.
Right.
But if you take the walk-in, then you could fuck your whole map.
Right. And because, like, it's very frowned upon to... Now, I've been in places where they're like, yes, you can sit here, but we have a reservation in 45 minutes.
Which I think you just have to respect.
I think it's totally fine.
I'd much rather have, like, I do have to say, I went to Taroni one night, and I love mm-hmm. Taroni. I really actually do. And they kept saying that we were going to have a table. And it got on to the point where it was like an hour and a half that we were waiting. And I was like, dude, like, manage expectations.
Yes,
that's what
course.
I think is wrong. Is like, I'd rather you say, you know what, we're not going to have another table for 2 hours. Give me the option.
Right. Yeah. To walk away and make completely different dinner plans.
It was awful. I felt like we were all in, and the songs for angry men.
My miss?
I felt like we were all like marching towards the front lines. Like, let us sit, let us eat. Like, it was just like this group of people who just kept being like, ah, really? It was.
You're like, no matter what, a young boy is going to die before this night's over.
Yes. That kind of leads us into kind of the classic hosting policy and practice that most restaurants and reservationists have in place. The one that I think people get so fucking pissed about, but I think we have an explanation, is that we cannot seat you until your entire party is present. And I think that really infuriates people, but it plays into this like not fucking your whole seat map for the night. And restaurants lose money when people they're like, no, our friend's on the way and they're not going to be there for 45 minutes.
And then they order their entree 45 minutes.
Yeah,
I do agree
with that. If someone's 5 minutes away, it's fine. I just am like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, sure. But people lie. That's the other thing, is people lie through their fucking teeth to get sat. Yes. Like, I have had to like walk over to a table and be like, I'm sorry, you said 5 minutes. It's been almost an hour. Oh my God. It's just like they're from St. It's like, I don't know. People in LA lie.
People are
crazy. I think if it's a very busy restaurant and the turnover is like needs to happen, then yes, that is something that should be dealt with by everybody. Sorry. Yeah.
It's really tough. And as a customer, like in that situation, because every time you walk into a restaurant, there are all these steps of being a customer where you're like, I am right. Yeah. Everything should go my way. And there's got to, and when the restaurant's running smoothly, it should work in your favor that way, or there should be options so you can make an informed choice. Like, do I want to fuck with this place tonight or go somewhere else? Totally. You know?
And it should be a thing where if your whole party's not there and it's going to be another 30 minutes, your table is going to get sat, but you're usually next on the wait list. Like, exactly. You're still at the top.
You'll get typically something comparable, but like you just skipped your turn because the kitchen needs to keep up with its flow and whatever. Basically, a restaurant business consultant said, think of a restaurant like a landlord and its tables are its apartment buildings. Which I think is like a really great way to think of it, because they say every unoccupied seat is an unrented apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when you're like a 28, 30 seater in a high rent place in Manhattan or a big city or whatever, like you can't have people just wasting and burning your precious business hours.
And I mean, another thing to consider is, and I mean, don't get me wrong, I've had my own problems with hosts, but they don't make any money.
They don't. No.
You make no money.
It's on par with the line cooks. So yeah. It's anywhere from
which is just an insane.
It's insulting all around. It's about $9.50 an hour to maybe $12.50 tops.
I've never worked anywhere where like hosts get a tip out. I have.
I was going to discuss that too. That like it's different everywhere, but hosts certainly got a little something, like percentage. Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or yeah. I mean, hosts always. They're the ones that like get the free meal. They're the ones that get like a nicer meal because they get paid less and they work harder. I agree with that. It's fine by me.
Yeah. And I mean,
we just pay everybody well.
Dude, I know.
Restaurants, mm-hmm. You're fucking it up.
Yeah. So, and like you going back to saying that like learning a computer system for seating the restaurant ruined your life for half a week.
I cried so many times. I would get so overwhelmed. I had to like walk out and take. It's so intense, like this whole sort of mapping system.
The whole thing is intense. Like, you know, even as a customer coming into a situation where you're on a wait list, like there's all sorts of certain factors that play into everybody's attitude. Oh, I'm fine to belly up to the bar and drink until my table is ready. And that's usually what I hope the case is, or go across the street, because now everybody has automated systems where they text you and let you know where your place in line is and like how far away your table is, which is fucking awesome.
No, also, I will let's agree.
Admit that. But if you're with your family.
Oh, boy. It's a whole nother thing.
Keeping grumpy and parents people need to, happy.
And then they're like, why's our table ready? Like, go ask and see where we are. You know, there is to a point, especially if you've been waiting a long time, it's okay to check in and be like, just checking in. Like, where are we? You know, it's fine to do that. But there are people who ask way too much.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and they're policing the situation. They're looking over your shoulder. Or they're
literally standing at the host stand. That's my most hated thing. That was the other thing that, like, I have a lot of personal, like, I can touch you, but don't you dare fucking touch me.
It's anxiety and inducing it as is. Well.
And where we were, it was a small restaurant, and people would hover around and lean on the host stand. Mm-hmm. And it's just sort of like this disgusting male energy or female, like, entitlement energy, mm-hmm. which is just like, I'm sorry. We're all here. It's like, cool, but there's still people sitting at your table.
Yeah.
Ugh, that is so not cool.
Can I tell you one cool thing Buka would do?
There we go. I put it out when for
we were on, when we were on really big waits in Chicago, for sure, where people would be
you'd have really big waits?
Like 1 to 2 hours for their table.
Wow.
Like lots, especially on a Saturday. I mean, we were super popular.
Really?
The manager would fire a couple pizzas and have them cut into small pieces. And
that's
then the
smart.
Host would parade them around where everybody was waiting and outside, and everybody would get like a little bite of pizza to like hold them over.
I mean, I will pour little splashes of wine sometimes just to like especially if it's like a VIP person that has to wait. But I just think I had suggested that at one time. It's like, why don't we just get a case of like Prosecco that's on the cheap? Spend $100 to make a month's worth of people who are not happy waiting for their table happy. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't want to drink and you offer it to somebody, it takes
little
the edge
breadcrumbs.
Off.
Yeah. These little breadcrumbs are very, they have a huge psychological impact on someone who's waiting and grumpy.
Yeah. I just feel like sometimes
People feel seen, they feel heard. Like,
yeah. I feel like restaurants have the least grasp on healthy psychological situations than almost any other workplace. Because there's
top to bottom.
I didn't even think about it like that now that I'm.
Or like, what about places that, you know, I mean, and again, I'll get back on track, but places that have nowhere for you to go and don't offer a system where they're going to text you.
They're just going to make you stand.
And you're just like, what is this shit? Especially like dead of winter somewhere where all they have is that weird little vestibule and you're like,
raining.
Cool, it's 50 degrees in this vestibule.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that is a situation when you are like, I swear to God, our friend is 5 minutes away getting off the train. And they're like, nope, 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 nope. But there's no bar to go hang out at.
I feel like, yeah.
It's tough. I have such a love-hate
feeling.
Weather
permitting, I feel like there should be wiggle room. You know what I mean? If there's an overflow and a situation
agreed.
Happening.
But again, that's something that a host needs to like literally juggle, which mm-hmm. It's an acquired. I do think there's like a level of host where it's like you're basically – you're a prop.
Yeah.
And then there's a level of host where it's like you really have to have like a Tetris mind.
Right.
You are a ninja and you're going to hold the whole goddamn place together.
And I don't know if you were going to get into this, but like the evolution of a host stand. Can we talk about this? They've gotten so much smaller.
Smaller and smaller.
And there's places I go where there's not even a fucking stand. And you walk in and I think I'm just like, where do I go? Where do I do? Who do I see? Like, you know.
There's Laurel Hardware. Have you guys been to Laurel Hardware?
Uh-uh.
So like it's Laurel Hardware is it's got this. It's an old hardware store that they've made into this like really bougie restaurant. It's beautiful, but you open the door and the door is so huge that it swings and it literally just misses the host stand. So every time you open it, you're almost just smacking these two models who are hosts.
I'm sure they're
in
very
their
used
face.
To it.
I'll never forget that. That I would always be like, "Whoa, I'm sorry," and they're like, "No, it happens every time.
It happens all the time. Thank God we're skinny."
Absolutely not. It's made of. It's like a concrete slab. You know what I mean? Like,
dude. And I tell you, I get very anxious when you see like the complete lack of a host stand. You're like, "Well, where are you supposed to keep them?"
And they have They have nowhere to stand or rest.
No.
They have to stand
the
whole night.
That's what I don't like. Is that then they're just standing there with you awkwardly, or they can go hide in a server station possibly. I do like a podium host stand where you're kind of like, I'm above you.
Uh-huh.
I have authority, you know.
Oh, I think they should have a bank teller. They should have a piece of glass between them and like the nasty, nasty
like
patrons.
Prison visitation where you pick up a phone and talk to them.
And then she can put it down or he can put it down and say like, no, go fuck yourself.
How about like an elevated throne? Like it rises up on
like
the floor.
Like you should be chosen to
see. Chosen. And you were like, you shall eat tonight. You shall go to McDonald's, you know.
Yeah.
And just a whole judgment. I would never get into a restaurant if people were like that. But no, it's so funny that, yeah. But it's also so many more restaurants are trying to squeeze so much shit and so many tables into tiny spaces. So they're like, yeah, let's skimp on the host stand. We don't need that.
Yeah.
And it's an island. It's like a port in the storm where people feel like, I need to know what's going on. And this is the place that I need to instinctually hover close to. And
I do have to say my favorite type is no host, though. I love it when it's a small, small restaurant. This happens often in New York. It's a small restaurant. And there's like maybe two servers on one busser. And then the manager is the host.
Yeah.
That to me feels friendly. It feels like... I mean, I'm sure in Europe that's like that
totally.
A lot. It's smaller places, but
I mean, I feel like, and then servers take turns, like if they have a minute.
Yeah, it's like a group.
And that I think happens a lot because you're also talking about restaurants that like might not have a host every night of the week, depending on how busy they are.
But man, I have no idea how I survived being a host. I mean, I think it's because I worked like six nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
But I made and, like
right, you just got you just. I mean, really and it, learned that it.
This was a long time ago. This is like, yeah. And I only did it because they had told me that I would eventually become a waiter there,
mm-hmm.
And it was you made mad bank because it was like this, like mafia Albanian run Italian restaurant in the middle of meatpacking district, and it was like, people just made so much money,
that's
and
I crazy.
Was so they like supported families off of it.
Ooh, can we talk for a minute how the like on the good side of it, the power you feel when you're like, follow me, and then you take the menus and you go traipsing through the dining room and everyone's just so thankful for you and you yeah. set it down and
yeah.
pull out a chair and you're like, your server will be
I'm
right
not gonna
with
lie,
you. We're
I
done.
Definitely did the whole like, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you.
Well, of course, because people outside people can slip you money if they want to.
Yeah. Yes.
Which that's the thing is I think, and I'll say this as someone who pulls tips and has pulled tips, if you are a hostess and someone slips you a 20, you fucking keep that 20.
Keep yeah. the 20.
You
no
keep
shame.
The 20.
I
or you split it between you and your other host.
I do love the ceremony when you've been waiting and then they call your fucking party name and then you like walk and follow your host. And then I love that whole ceremony. If it's going well and you're excited to be there, like your server will be right with you. Here's this, here's that. And if it's a good host, they're just like, you know, have a good time. Like,
have a great time. See you on the
keep
way
your,
out.
Keep your arms and legs inside the booth at all times.
Did you guys ever work at a place where you had to save a table? There was like an important like.
No, like in case a certain guest came in, yeah. like they might come in. So something has to be. No,
I haven't who
is,
either.
Who is the guy who was in the wrestler? Mickey
Rourke.
Mickey Rourke. Oh, yeah. You had to save yeah. a table for Mickey all the time,
at the meat
right?
packing place.
At Mount Chelleria. And he came in one time and was so pissed.
He hangs out with Albanian and Russian gangsters now. That's his whole life.
It's his whole life.
Well, he's like still playing the character from Iron Man 2.
It's very strange. But yeah, it, like people and at another restaurant that I worked at, this guy only wanted to sit at this one table. And if 21 wasn't available, it was like a whole thing. And it was a whole like appeasing strategy to sort of like make sure that this person was not upset.
This is this guy's kink. You know, yeah. he comes in and he's like, I'm going to show up when they don't expect it so that the apology parade starts.
Read me the riot act one day because I didn't have his table ready. And I was like, literally, your lips are moving, but like your whole face is so strange that I don't understand the words coming out.
Oh,
and he was like spitting and like, you know, because he's just like doesn't have control over his bodily functions. It was intense. Yeah, he's the guy from the wrestler.
No, I know who he is.
But he just,
I used to watch Wild Orchid in 9.5 weeks when I was younger and have feelings.
Yeah. He looks like a fucking sex doll.
He's awful. Yeah, he does.
It's bad. What do we think? Like, as a customer, but also as restaurant workers, when you... Okay, so this makes people really mad when they walk in because they don't understand, like, you say, we don't have a table at the moment and there are empty tables and that you have to explain to them. That's because there's a reservation coming, like there's a plan, but people get so fucking pissed if there are tables that are not sat and then there's a little bit of a wait. But then what do you think? Sometimes I've been in restaurants where I'm like, no one has sat down at these tables. What the fuck is going on? Is the host sometimes pacing the floor because there are not enough servers?
Yeah. Or that they know that reservations are coming in.
Right, right.
I mean, it's annoying. It's just one of those things. You just have to understand.
It is annoying when you're like, here's the thing. You get there at 5 p.m. or you get there at 6 p.m. and all the reservations are for 7 p.m. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, or 6:40 or 5:45. I don't know. That's when things get fickle. And there's just nothing to be done because that's how reservations work. And, you know, and if they know they're a place where, again, we talked discussed like, if you can get out by this time, you're good to go, you know. I don't know. It's a slippery slope. Yeah.
And then I'm curious, Kyle, can you speak on like at some of the places you've worked, are there cancellation fees if a person, like, do they take credit cards from people at these higher end spots?
It's usually honestly for parties, I think of like six or more. And I have worked at places where people like have canceled, but the problem is they're so rich that like $150 and you, That goes directly to the restaurant, by the way. It does not go to the server.
Okay.
So, not even a percentage?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm pretty sure.
You still get like 20% grant on that one.
So like someone who is waiting for their six top and doesn't. So. Damn. Yeah,
I'm pretty, I don't quote me on that, but I don't, I mean, it could have just been my negative attitude towards everything where I'm like, they don't give a shit.
So how long, and like just calculate, like, so if you know they're not coming or they don't show, like what's the cutoff, 30 minutes? Like they call so after a certain time, that's the host's job, right?
It's 15 minutes.
I think it's 15, yeah. And 15 to call.
But, oh, cutoff?
For any fair. But for a larger party, sometimes they'll wait just because they've had the table set up and things like that, and they'll try, you know, the host will try and get in contact with them and things like that. I do have to say, if you're working at a super busy restaurant and you're not relying solely on tips, you're on like service charge, there is nothing more delightful than when that nine top at fucking 9:45 cancels.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And then the hostess gets to be the hero to come in and be like,
yes, what?
They're not coming.
And then you dance together for a second.
You dance and you exactly. hug. And then she goes back to her, or he goes back to her your podium, and you go back to wiping
off menus.
Grease off menus, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's speak as hosts, you know, yeah. like us having done it, or our host friends, people we've worked with, coworkers, bane of your existence as a hostess as well. Like we've always spoken from the perspective of the server, but it really affects a host as well. When people camp, I mean, that just screws you over. Then the servers so get rude. Mad at you, because the servers are mad in general. They're ready for their new table. They want to
turn.
And
all it takes is you as a customer is asking your server, say, hey, I know we're here. We've been here for a little while. Can you just check with the hostess to make sure there's not a table coming in? That's all it takes.
Yep.
And then you never know. There might not be. And then you can have an hour longer at that table. 100%. And nobody gives a fuck.
I think that's just great sort of feedback for the people who don't, you know, work in the industry, who listen to this. Just like ask. As a customer, check in, because there are nicknames for you if you are like same-siders. Is always a bad omen when a couple squatters. Gets on the same side of the booth, and you know that it's just going to be the
AKA jerker offers.
Yeah, jerker offers. Like, let's just split one glass of wine for an hour.
And stare into each other's eyes.
Exactly.
Do it at home on your couch.
Yep. And
if
then,
I'm like, if I fucking see him pick up that fork and feed her a bite of food, I'm gonna
you're just watching these creeps do like an hour of foreplay. Mm-hmm. You're like, just go home and fuck. Like, oh my God. Also, for the older set who maybe don't have romance in their life, those people are called like coffee talkers. The people who just spend, it's like, go to a coffee shop. You just had don't, your
if
whole
you pull
meal.
Out your laptop, if you pull out your laptop at a nice restaurant,
no,
you should just be eliminated from the planet.
I think. Rule of thumb is, if there's a line, if you see people waiting, get the fuck up and leave.
Go somewhere else. Go to a coffee shop. Go to a bar where that's acceptable.
Go to the cinema.
Now, if we're going to kind of also talk from like a server perspective, I think some rules to follow are keep in like contact with your host and mm-hmm. let them know what's going on in your section.
Totally.
If you are not busy and you see that the host is busy and you can seat a table for them, what a relief for them
offer
not to have to leave the host
stand. Them.
It's everybody's working together.
You're all in the trenches. You're and all then maybe you won't fighting the same war.
Have such a piss poor attitude if like the host seats you oddly. Like just everybody be friends.
Now, if you are a host and you feel like the staff is hating on you, ask yourself, are you doing things like, are you 18 years old and have a crush on the hot server and give him all the good tables? There's a chance that everyone else is going to hate you. So
all
cut
about
it.
Learning from your fuck-ups.
It is. So cut it out with the favoritism. That's like, that will get you on the staff shit list so fast, you know. And I've watched. I mean, when I was the hostess, I was young and dumb and so easily charmed by all like the older guys who were like, hey, what are you up to today, Brooks? So interesting. They were trying to get the fucking good tables. And they got them because I'm dumb and I love attention. Well, and then all the ladies hated me.
By the good table, do you mean your butthole?
You know what I'm talking about.
Well, also, I think on the other side, if you're a hostess and you triple seat somebody and they look overwhelmed, all you have to do is ask, can I get you some water to start? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And literally, you've taken so much pressure off that server. It's
and
unbelievable.
Say to the server, hey, I'm so sorry.
I'm
gonna triple seat you.
I'm a warlord.
I'll space them out a little bit. I'm so fucking sorry. Just keep communicating with each other.
And even as a host to be like, I think there are tactful ways even to your table to be like, hey, I'm really going to be sort of filling this server section really fast. So yes, I will see you, but they're probably just going to need a minute to get to you. So be, you know, be, and then like you said, if you can go get a basket of bread and water started for them, that is enough to keep big baby Brooke happy. She's playing with some food and some water. You know, give me some crayons.
Like, that's what happens when that like big table doesn't show up sometimes and you're on a wait. Those tables get separated. Yeah, and that's like a good boom, point. Boom, boom. Like, you're and just, because that's how it works.
Yeah. That is killer. If suddenly you went from one big lounging sort of tent top to then five two tops.
Yeah.
But insanity. Like, at the end of the day, nobody can predict how the shift is going to go. Nobody can predict anything.
That's why restaurants are war.
And if I may make a controversial statement, those fucking vibrating discs.
Hate them.
Those are for fast food only. I swear to God, if I see one in like a sit down restaurant and they're like, here, take this dirty toy disc that's going to buzz. I hate it. It needs to go bye-bye because there's always like the fucking old family member in your party goes, are you going to put it in your pants?
I was just going to say, you know, some dude has put it in his pants. You know, somebody's like, I'm just going to go to the bathroom really quick. And he just held it near his penis until it buzzes.
I've never
eaten Del Taco when I've been sober and it's been daylight.
Yeah.
See, that's the problem. That's when you know you've crossed over when you're dead sober going to get Del Taco.
Yeah.
You're willfully getting Del Taco. You're like, I think something's changed about me.
That's a new experience.
And then Drennan, he's like, yeah, let's go to Del Taco. And he gets six chicken soft tacos and then three classic deal, whatever. And it's
in one sitting?
Oh, yeah. It's something to watch.
Are those the hard shells, the classics?
The classics.
Yeah.
Those classics are good. But I still, again, in the moment, yum. And the next day,
brrr.
I'm like, what have I done?
I done? You guys, I didn't do anything to deserve this.
Oh,
you
know I know what it is.
You're 40, bitch.
I know.
Yeah. All right. Well, that delicious echo of laughter is our guest today. Please welcome to Sidework Podcast, Will Miles.
What up?
Hi, Will.
Hello, hello.
It's morning. We were all out last night. It's all right.
I was home by like 11:30, though. I felt pretty strong about it.
We were home 12-ish.
I think 11:30 for us. I don't know.
It's all good. I mean, that's the old person. The call, like the ding, 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 ding. Better get home or this bed's not going to let you in.
By 11, it's like, oh boy, I'm starting to get a little sleepy.
Yeah, totally. It's like that couch is calling. Yeah. If I get home now, I'm not going to be able to watch my shows before I go to bed.
Exactly.
I'm gonna be super upset about it.
That's the dumbest mistake I keep mistaking. Wow. That's the dumbest mistake I keep making is thinking I can go have a night and then that there is a little time for TV afterwards. Passed out sitting up to the R. Kelly documentary last night.
Oh, no.
You don't want to leave yourself vulnerable like that. But I was like, you know what? What's more appropriate than passing out while watching R. Kelly? It's how he would have wanted it.
Exactly.
If any documentary goes on and it's I've been out, I'm out within seconds.
Like, I know.
Just thinking about putting on. I've been thinking I can watch the Great British Baking Show at the end of the night, and then I'm just out like a light.
But I think people use that show like a sleep aid.
For sure.
Like, truly. Oh, like,
but it's also exciting.
It is. It's not exciting. It's,
there's
it's
parts
fun.
Of it. No, it's exactly. It's more fun than exciting.
It's exciting to me. Okay, got it.
But it's like 10 seasons of nap time.
Listen, it's all worth it to stay up if you see a Hollywood handshake. Is all I'm saying.
What's a Hollywood handshake?
Oh, that's when Paul Hollywood like is so loves your baked dish so much. He reaches across the counter and shakes your goddamn hand. Aww. It's a true honor to get a Hollywood handshake.
God, I thought that was like some horrible local sex move.
So did I. I was like, oh man. They're offering Hollywood handshakes behind the Del Taco.
It probably was that before the Brits took it over and claimed it for their own.
Oh,
it was real, and now it's just called Me Too.
If you can't tell by Will's smooth voice, he too podcasts. He's a real professional. And we're excited that he's on ours today. His is called Recently Added.
Recently Added, where we watch what just came out on Netflix.
so we don't have to.
So you guys don't have to.
Yeah. And they review it.
You got to do it.
I want to be on this show.
You got to do it.
You get homework.
Yeah, you get homework.
I love homework.
Where you watch the eye dash lens, the eye lens.
Yes.
And you end up watching the whole thing.
Did you finish it?
Unbelievable. It's so bad.
Yes.
It is. Like, you have to watch it. You're going to be like, how did this get jammed through? It is maybe one of the most egregious TV attempts at TV I've ever seen. And it's like some sort of A-listy notable people.
Kate Bosworth. It makes no sense.
No sense. Anyways, please check it out. I had to keep watching because I was like, no way are they meaning to do this. The dialogue is awful. The writing is horrible. The acting is so over the top. They just give up on like lighting, set design, really? Sound, makeup toward the back end. It's fucking unreal.
They ran out of budget or something?
They ran out of Karen. I don't know. But I watched this. This was part of my homework. And I was like, I'll watch one episode. Then I'll watch the Chelsea Handler doc. I'm going to watch a little. You know, I just enough to get a taste, you know, and then we all discuss it. And I came back. I was like, guys, I got to go and finish The Island.
I got to finish it, too. But every week it's impossible to finish these things because you're
like, of course,
like,
it's so much. You guys have put yourself up to so much TV watching. Well, enough about you. No, just kidding. It's all about you today. We just want to switch gears and talk instead about your experience in the service industry.
Yeah. Well, I've got my favorite job, period, probably, besides comedy, is Murphy's Hot Dogs in Chicago.
Okay. Okay. Andrea's doing a little dance. Yeah.
I started out there in high school at 17. I had worked at like the Gap and all these other jobs and they were okay. But I mean, I don't know, nothing about it fulfilled my life. And then I was walking down the street and we lived by Murphy's. And so we walked in and he was like, I need a guy if you want to work here. And I was like, yeah, this would be a great job. And then I worked there for about 5 or 6 years after that.
Okay. Now, I need just rudimentary explanation. I've never been there. I don't know what this is. What neighborhood?
So Murphy's Hot Dogs is a Wrigleyville, Chicago haunt.
Okay.
Some of the best hot dogs in probably the country. It is closed now. But before the Cubs games, people would come in. And we'd have a line around the block.
God.
Yeah. We'd have to deal with thousands of customers a day on game day, basically. And it's just one of the better hot dog places. It's very small. There's only room for 3 high top tables.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a little area on the side for outdoor eating, but it's mostly grab and go. But we'd have like Cubs legends like Ron Santo come in before he'd have to do, you know, stuff for the game broadcasting. And we'd have Cardinals fans that we'd always
start crying. Not Sorry.
Yeah. So you guys are leaning hard into Chicago talk.
True.
So let's back up a little bit too. Like, so were you serving Chicago style dogs, all kinds? Like I want to hear a little bit about the flavor, the regional, whatever.
Yeah.
What were you doing on a daily basis? What did it smell like, taste like?
Oh, amazing. So daily basis, we had no ketchup allowed for hot dogs at all. It's a Chicago tradition that you cannot put ketchup on hot dogs. So,
No, that's a Detroit tradition too, just with the conies.
For the conies,
New York too, right? I mean, a lot of people are like...
I don't think New York, it doesn't seem like they care as much.
They don't care as much.
Yeah.
You can get kraut and ketchup and then why not just throw yourself onto the subway.
Exactly.
Track.
Yes. Yeah. Bill would always get mad if somebody asked for ketchup, but in like a hysterical, playful way. But so it's celery, salt, sport peppers, lettuce, tomato, mustard. Let's see if I can remember everything. I think that's it.
Poppy seeds?
That's on the poppy seed
on the bun.
Okay.
Yeah, poppy seed bun. With the char dog, you cut 3 slits in a hot dog and put it on the grill.
So and it's nice and charred and blistered.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And it curves pretty perfectly and fits in the bun.
And that is specifically called dragging it through the garden.
Yes.
Is dressing on a Chicago dog.
Right. Okay.
And
I knew
gotta
that
It's
got to
be Vienna
much.
Beef. Too. Vienna beef is the only type of hot dog you can put in a Chicago dog.
So now, like, this is a funny question I have, like, because I just 100% affiliate going to eat about a million hot dogs while you're at the game.
Yes.
So people lining up to shove hot dogs in their face before the game? Was it pre-gaming hot dogs?
It's kind of a pre-gaming tradition. And the thing about the Cubs games is they're such a full day experience that the game is just such a small part of it. When you go to a Cubs game, that they always come to Murphy's first or after, or Murphy's Bleachers, which is the bar that's completely unrelated to our restaurant. to drink or eat hot dogs. So the game is like just the smallest part of the day. So my duties, I started out as the fry cook, moved my way up to the grill.
Like actual French fries.
Yeah, actual just effects. French okay, fries. Because there's three, four people, sometimes five if we're very busy, working the grill. And usually it's Bill on the counter, and he's the one talking to the customers. Mm-hmm. They love him. And then his wife is talking to the customers as well, but also on phones and taking some orders. And then Alejandro would be on the grill. And then Rafa would be in the back.
Okay.
Or they'd switch sometimes. And then I would be on fries. That's how it started. And then eventually it got to I would be on the grill. And that was my favorite because I don't know. I think I was just never too have shy.
To, yeah. I was like, you just stared at the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just like, I'm grilling hot dogs.
And then I could occasionally pop back because Bill would like interact with everybody for kind of, it's kind of a show. And so then but I liked just popping in every now and then. I wasn't the one being like, what can I get you? Let me drag it down the line. That'd be Bill's job. And then I'd come in and he'd be like, hey, Will, so what do you think of the Cardinals? And then we'd all say, fuck them or something. Like,
how many, like on a really busy day, would you just be like slamming thousands of dogs out the door?
The grill was about probably, I don't know, 40 by 40 was this to, what would you say, 75 to 75?
Inches.
Okay.
Inches, yeah. And filled with hot dogs here, hamburgers here, chicken sandwiches here. I know the audience can't see, but
he did a map with his hand on the table. And
every square inch of the flat top was taken up by delicious meat.
Oh, big time.
Was it just chicken, just burgers, just dogs? Were you doing like Eros? Were you doing like different?
We had Italian beef too.
Okay.
But that didn't take space on the grill. That was on the side.
That's a separate vault.
And we had cheese for like cheese fries if you wanted it. And we had shakes. So the shakes were over there.
Oh, God. That just seems like another unnecessary, annoying thing to make
Absolutely.
People.
Yeah.
Holy shit. The shake just really stops things
are you
down.
Like, I know when people are like, and like four shakes. And were you like, really?
Yeah.
You really
you
need
have
those?
To save face, but you're like, fuck you. Just get a goddamn hot dog and leave.
Who was in charge of shakes?
That would be Letty. Or there was, I forget her name. I think it was Paula.
Like whoever yeah. was like, yeah. On phones. If you're on phones, you're on shakes.
Yeah, the exactly. End. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so, okay. So like, obviously this is just counter service, but it's like the whole staff is kind of in your face. The way like we talked about our love for like the diner grill or these, you know, where like the cook is also the waiter, the cashier, you know, the whole thing. And I just love spots like that. My dad is just insufferable. He's probably gonna be like, what do you mean we've never been to Murphy's? And he will get on a train and go to Chicago.
Yeah,
go eat there.
They have pop-ups now, but the space closed down because he sold it. The neighborhood's changing, like every neighborhood, but he does pop-ups
now. It's just filled with like fun little like froyo places
pretty
now.
Much yeah
I mean it's like, still yeah. there but
can I ask real quick, like, who is demanding frozen yogurt?
I don't know.
All of these great places. You? Is it Andrea?
I don't hate froyo.
But I just
I'm not going to kick out a business that's been there for
a legendary
30,
business.
30,
yeah.
40 years? Like how long was he there?
I feel like 30 years. 30 yeah. something years.
I mean, especially an institution of a neighborhood. I mean, it's like Any big city, like specifically Chicago, though, it's like everybody has their like hot dog neighborhood stand, right?
Yeah.
So to lose that is a huge, it breaks my heart.
And we had no beef with hot dogs, but, right. you know, there was hot dogs and there was Murphy's and there's like, I think maybe one or two more that are all, they're all closed now. Yeah. I learned a lot from being there just because you could see
upstairs?
Him. He lived upstairs.
Wow.
Or there's like a back house with his kids and, so I watched them grow up while I was there.
Oh, my gosh.
I got to know him as a father and a boss and, like, all these other things. We always say he was, like, a second dad. Because he, like, 16 to 20-something or, like, formative years. So. I worked at Ruby Tuesdays in college as well.
Okay.
And I thought that would be
As a waiter, or were you on the line?
I was host, salad bar attendant with a little bit of waiter.
Oh, and, yeah. We've never had anyone on the podcast who is a salad bar attendant. So if you don't mind,
you're treated like full shit. Nobody respects you in the whole place.
Just put more peas in the bowl. Thanks.
I can't believe they're out of cheddar cheese. It's like, come on. It just.
Hey, cheddar cheese, bitch.
Yeah. That's probably what goes the quickest.
Yeah. What do they call it? An expediter every now and then? But it was like. No, that was a different job. I had a lot of jobs at Ruby Tuesdays. But salad bar, it sucks because everybody gets it because I think it's on the list of like free if you get a meal or something. So you're constantly working, but nobody respects you. The host doesn't respect you. The waiters don't respect you because they don't know anything about what you do. They're just like, yeah, fucking fill the salad bar. I don't know. It's your one job. Just do the salad bar. And you're like, yeah, but it's busy. More than you're busy. people are always at the salad bar, and it's just refilling ranch.
Oh.
If you really think about it, that's the salad bar is just ranch, and bacon bits, and cheddar cheese.
Drippings.
Yes.
What people are calling a quote-unquote salad. Yes.
And they're putting iceberg the cucumber lettuce. Tongs in the fucking beet tongs.
Yeah.
And is this chaos? Is this like...
It can be. And that's where I come in to fix the chaos.
To fix it.
But no respect.
Sucked.
Salad bar fixer.
I got so mad at my boss. I think his name was David. We had a beef. But he, one day he was like, you're waiting today. And then when I got into work, he was like, sorry, you're a salad bar. And I was furious the whole day.
Yes.
And I was like, you told me waiting today. I was excited to do, I don't know. It was a good experience. I was like, let me be a waiter. And then, salad bar, and I just didn't talk to him all day.
Right back in. You were like putting on like your waiter white, you know, just putting on the shirt. You're like, ooh, I'm gonna wear the apron today.
Yeah, I get to
and
talk
then
to
he's
everybody.
Like, sorry, here are your tongs. Get the fuck back over to the salad bar.
And I think I even like slammed the tongs into the case, and I like pushed the cart out, like pushed the door open really hard. It's like fuck you, man, in my head. But I just said, oh, all right, I'll handle this.
We're low on chickpeas.
Right, yeah. Can we get more cheddar, bacon, and ranch? And
ranch.
I haven't even been out there yet.
I would imagine like the Jello salad like never has to be refilled.
No.
It's like that kind of, or the pudding.
Ugh. Or like, pudding. People don't really put sunflower seeds on as much as you'd think either.
I mean, I do, but there's so many. Like one little scoop is like 1,000 sunflower seeds.
Those I rarely had to refill. The cranberries, I feel like there's those dried cranberries or dried thing.
Oh, yeah, craisins.
Yeah, craisins that you don't really have to refill. But it's truly just iceberg lettuce, ranch, bacon bits, and cheddar.
I love salad bars. I
hate them with a fiery passion.
I fucking love salad bars.
I have
bars.
Like PTSD from being around salad bars now.
I can understand that.
Because I see the mess. I went to Ruby Tuesdays and... Times Square.
Oh, nobody can ladle anything.
No.
Without being a monster. Like, they're just like, dunk, slap, drip.
Dude,
like,
anytime I can put like four different salad dressings on my salad, it's like, it makes one mother dressing. I'm in.
People sleep on French dressing too. French dressing is pretty good.
I like to add French and ranch together and like a little vinegar. I could go on forever. Anyway, this is your interview, Will.
This is the salad talk. No.
Into the salad bar portion of the interview.
But salad bar also gets no take on the tips, so that's why it feels even worse, because host, you get some take on the tips at least.
Right.
But salad bar, you're just there with no money, no extra money coming in.
That's fucking crazy. And you don't make an extra hourly wage? And
no.
That's nutso.
I don't like it.
It's
like Ruby Tuesday purgatory.
Yeah. And I left that job. I took too long to finish college, and so I was down there extra time, and I didn't tell them that when I was done, I was just going to leave. So I didn't give 2 weeks for Ruby Tuesday, so
they hate me
probably. Fuck them, though.
Whatever, man.
Yeah, fuck it, unless you guys want to do an advertisement, and then I'm available.
Action!
What were you like hosting? Was that something you enjoyed doing?
Hosting was fun. It was me and this girl. We're usually up there hosting together. Mm-hmm. We had a rapport. The people would come in. They'd love us.
I bet you were the best.
Yeah, that was fun.
If I walked into Ruby Tuesday and you were like, hey, welcome. I was like, this kid is great.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's just positivity. When people walk in the door, they just want to feel like, oh, this guy's happy. So that was all I did. I just gave him like, I don't know. The waiter, I don't know what the waiters are mad about. But it's like, I'm seating people correctly as far as I know on this little chart here. and I'm doing fine. Can you like, get them started? Yeah.
Cut to you like back to Salad Bar, just like dreaming about being back in Chicago with Bill, like making yeah. hot dogs.
That's exactly what it was too. It was a lot of me being like, this is depressing.
Well, especially yeah. too, like talk about like, I mean, you can cultivate personality with your staff, but yeah. the chain corporate restaurant itself is just devoid of everything that Murphy's was. Murphy's
yeah.
is like, it's fully the personality of Bill that is yes. being like imbued into every hot dog that goes out that door. And it's a really special experience to work for like a mom and pop place.
I saw you wrote rats in something too. I do have a rat story for
you. Oh, Murphy's. Hell yeah.
I okay. think everybody must have a rat story, right?
I mean, you know,
it's been a hot minute since we had yeah. a rat story.
Oh, really?
It's been a hot rat minute.
This one we weren't sure. It wasn't in the restaurant. It was in the church behind the restaurant.
Okay.
But for some reason, they used our garbage can, I think. Because one day I was taking out the garbage at Murphy's, and I heard like a screeching sound inside the trash can. And uh-huh. then when I opened it, it must have been a 3 to 4 foot rat inside the garbage can staring at me. And I threw the bag down and ran in the to like find Bill, and I think I was screaming and like possibly crying. And I was just like, I can't go back out to the garbage ever again. I'm sorry.
There's a swamp rat out yeah. there.
It's the most giant rat in the world.
It's
out
like
there.
Nutria territory at that point.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I think he had to come out and like deal with it.
He had to call the cops.
Yeah.
You just heard like swords clanking like for yeah. hours in the back.
Yeah. It may have led to like a whole fight within the community about the church constantly throwing their garbage in other people's garbage cans.
Wow. Not very...
And having rats in the church as well. It's like,
it's not that very Christian.
No, I know, right? Do. Yeah. What the hell?
I mean, no that's offense. Like, do you still have phobias? Like when you open
yeah.
dumpsters?
Oh, I hate rats now.
Yeah.
And dumpsters. Because now the rats, I had rats in my apartment in Chicago when I lived there as an adult.
Oh, bummer.
We had rats in our New York apartment when we moved to New York. These weren't as big as the one in the garbage can, though.
Nothing could be.
Have you considered that maybe it was a small dog?
Yeah, I know, right?
Or a possum.
Possum is a possibility. There are a lot of possums in that neighborhood.
It was a possum-ability. good possum-ability.
But I think it was a rat.
3 to 4 feet tall.
Hmm. Not tall, but like wide.
Like
long. Or long, wait, yeah. It was a really fat.
Feet, inches?
No.
Feet.
Maybe it was a foot only. Okay. But it was huge
all
to
right.
me.
I need you to substantiate
yeah,
I know. This creature that you saw.
I'd say it was about a foot. It's about a foot long.
But then you have to add on the tail.
The tail was so
like
much longer.
Yeah, that's insane too. No. That's fair. Okay, we're like in the 2 foot territory.
Yeah.
It's too much rat.
It was in a trap too. So it couldn't have jumped out at me.
Oh.
But it was in like a rat trap, I think.
But it was like, help me.
Yeah.
And then you were like,
100%. And then luckily it was not a crowded time, so I was able to like explain what happened. But Bill definitely was like, shh.
Right. Like
you're just running yelling rat.
Rat! Shh. Please. Here's a tip, and it's a tip that Bill Murphy taught me. I think it's the same tip. Always overestimate. Whatever you do, always overestimate. So then when you perform on time, or at the, I don't know, at what you think you can do, mm-hmm. everyone's surprised and happy. But if somebody wants you to have, let's say you're a bagger and they want you to bag these groceries in 4 bags, you say, I think I can bag them in 5. And that way when you bag them in 4, they're like, thank God you did it in 4.
Okay.
That's amazing.
I didn't know that was a real problem people had, but yeah.
People want to minimize their bags when you're a bagger.
Just an example.
Yeah.
Not even gonna, yeah.
I understand.
Oh, no.
It's all right. Oh, migraines.
This
why?
Is going to go down as the episode that Brooke died right
yeah,
after.
I know.
What? I don't want to.
I don't want to die.
I really like doing this podcast.
I know. Yeah.
I have a lot to live for. Take
don't
care
die,
of my
Brooke.
Lungs.
Don't yeah. do it.
Oh, please my head. Die. Migraines. Please kill me. Well, Will Miles, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
You are welcome. We love you. And guys, check out Recently Added podcast hosted by Will Miles and Nick J. Turner.
Yeah, at Gmail.
Here's a tip. If you are the kind of customer who doesn't like to wait and can't make a reservation, or it might be a place that doesn't take reservations, I know this is confusing. Yelp has a little icon that says Yelp waitlist. If you go on and search a website where you can put yourself onto the waitlist while still at home or like sitting in your car or wherever you might be. Specifically, I like to go to San Gabriel in Los Angeles and eat delicious Chinese food, places that have like waits of 2 hours. So I know I can put myself on a wait list, drive myself there, park my car and get there and still have about 15 minutes before I know I'm going to be sat. Sometimes I just breeze right in. It's just this really amazing little feature that Yelp has for wait lists. And I assume... and I hope it makes the restaurants run a little bit more seamlessly.
Hey guys, fun news about Sidework Podcast. You can now listen to us exclusively on the Himalaya app and anywhere else you're already streaming your podcast. But if you listen to us on Himalaya, which is a free app you can go find in your app store and listen to everything else you already normally listen to, we start to get paid, which helps us continue to bring you fun content. Plus, we're going to start doing bonus content for people who want to pay a little extra for live streaming videos, special episodes, maybe some tickets to some live shows we're going to start doing for servers only. All right, you guys are the best. Thanks again for listening, and check out Himalaya. Thank you.